I'm speaking this morning on prophecy, but I see we've covered that pretty well, and that's what I prayed, actually. And then we're going to farewell some amazing people this morning, and so I'm keeping it till later because the allergies and things, but we will honor amazing people today. So if you don't mind turning in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It's just talking about the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy, but before I get there, I'm going to jump a bit, as you know, and I want to talk kind of generally about prophecy, and our time is going, and I don't need to speak long. It's as a prayer team, a prophetic team. We changed the name to prayer team because it's less scary for people. But just to grow the gifts of prophetic in the church. Nicole, you're going to come back in a little while, right? Okay, I want you to for a reason. I don't know if you over the months and years, we've had different ones come, Ray Stokes and John Finocchio and Clem Ferris and Diane, I was trying to remember her name, just different ones who carry that office of the prophet, the prophetic. It's kind of a scary term. We don't like to use the word apostle much. We don't like to use the word prophet much. It's way easier to use the word teacher, pastor, evangelist even is sort of okay. But the Bible talks about the gifts, the fivefold. But one of the guys, Stephen Holstrom's friend, what was his name again? Dennis was here. And he's a colorful guy, if we could say that. But I liked his just opening, talking about it. And he started in Romans, and he called these gifts that the Father gives, and you don't have to come there, but Romans 12, it says, you know, we have different gifts according to the grace given by us. If a man's gift is prophesying or preaching, I could put in there, let him use it, let him preach as though he's speaking the oracles of God in proportion to his faith. If he's serving, let him serve. If he's teaching, let him teach. If he's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And he called that list in Romans the Father's gifts. It's more of a, you know, a naturally given gift that everybody has, from the womb type of thing. And those gifts are there. God created us each with a different bent, a different gifting. And we can develop these, and you can study, and you can grow in that. And that's why Paul is encouraging them to use their gifts. And so I don't want to get into a large theological debate about, you know, putting these in such narrow brackets. But just to see that the Father has put in every one of us abilities and giftings that he's saying that we should use. And then I'm going back to Dennis's definitions again, but I like it. So you have the gifts from the Father, you have the gifts of Jesus to the church, and in Ephesians 4, he says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. This was Jesus' gift to the church, and those offices are preaching gifts, if my good friend Michael Eaton knows anything about the Bible, which he did, and he always would share those fivefold, and we talk about that as a church, the fivefold ministry that builds the church. And he said they're preaching gifts because the point of them are to build up and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So the way you do that is preaching, speaking, bringing those gifts to life. People see it and encouraged by it and grow in it, whether it's the apostolic, whether it's the prophetic, whether it's the evangelistic, the pastoral, the teaching. That was Jesus' gift to his church. And we want that more and more. And it's kind of different from the gift of prophecy, which I'll speak about, but there is the office of the prophet. my good Bible college teacher friend used to say, Graydon Giles, that by the time you're 40, you'll probably know your gifting, your calling. And I remember I started pastoring in Swan Hills when I was 22, whatever. A wise young man. My mom thought I was a Boy Scout. She said, you look like a Boy Scout. And it was the picture on the Grizzly Gazette. I was famous. I was on the front page of the... I was telling Herman, this is just for free, Herman. I'm quite famous, and you should know that, because last night at a restaurant where we were, the young guy serving there, he saw a picture of us 20, 30 years ago, and he recognized that picture is... I grew up with that picture on my fridge, and he was amazed to meet the original, so... So there is the gifts of Jesus to his church, and he gave some. But then there's the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to just go there. And I was going to read in 1 Corinthians 14. Sorry, I'm going the wrong way. But talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and I differentiate them. We can discuss all this. It's all from God, and it's all spiritual. But the gifts of the Spirit are resident in the Spirit as He wills, and it's for anyone. And we are called to prophesy and to pray. And you know, if you read through the gifts in chapter 12, just quickly. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when, okay, let me jump ahead. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, a word of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, discerning of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So we kind of put the gifts of the Father, kind of innate, born with them. We can grow them. You have the gifts of Jesus to the church, to grow the church, and you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are for everyone who belongs to Christ, who has the Spirit of God in their life. These gifts can operate, and we are encouraged to bring our gift and use our gift. And so what I wanted to read in chapter 14, because there's too much in these three chapters, but it's this couple of verses. Chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow the way of love, because he's just laid out love in 1 Corinthians 13. You know that chapter. He says, follow the way of love, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Amen? Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Amen? For everyone. And he gives a bit of a challenge about tongues and its use. But he says, verse 3, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and comfort. He says, I'm jumping around, so you'll have to follow me. Verse 5, I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless it's interpreted. Down to verse 6, I beg you, unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction, he says, people won't get the message. Let's go down to verse 12. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Amen? Yeah. He goes on and gives them a bit of a slap. Don't think like children and mature. And then talks about orderly worship. Verse 26 says, what shall I say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So he just keeps pushing that these gifts are for the strengthening and the building up of the church and the comfort and edification and blessing the church. And I want to end with this verse, verse 39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. but everything should be done in a fitting and an orderly way. Amen? So, where do we go? You ready? All I wanted to, as I was praying this week and again this morning, and I don't think it's the painkillers kicking in, but it felt like God was saying, and the picture I had is exactly what just happened here. You know, I should have said this before it happened, but I just really felt like we should take time to prophesy, to speak the word of God. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Hello, granddaughter. Grandpa, see, somebody loves me. Oh, I'm going to start crying just thinking about me wee noofy heart. So here's some simple, I'll just nail them and then we're done. But prophecy means, in Hebrew, naba. I used to know a little, no, I won't start with the jokes. It means to flow, boil over, bubble up, or pour forth. In the Greek, the prophetia means to speak forth the mind and counsel of God through natural means. The Holy Spirit, here's more theological. The Holy Spirit expressing the thoughts and desires of Christ through a human voice. And these are my thoughts. God is always speaking to us. He speaks, he wants to speak to us through the word, through the prophetic, through his anointed spirit. If we can just quiet ourselves and listen, sometimes he speaks. Sometimes we hear, because God is speaking, and I believe he's speaking to us this morning. Even as people came and I got a word, I just got encouragement. God is speaking. The language of heaven is love, and we can recognize his voice when words come with the love of God. They can be strong words. They can be words that challenge, but you know it's God speaking when there's a sense that his love and encouragement is with it. There's not condemnation. It's an encouragement, and it's in the building up of your life and who you are. So what's the purpose of prophetic? I'm just going through these verses, and I'll just list them. To comfort, upbuild, and strengthen. Amen? So if you're bringing a prophetic word, that's what it should do. It should build, it should strengthen, it should upbuild. I don't use that word, but you just have this building, step upon step, encouraging people to move on in God. And God knows we need it, amen? Yeah. I don't know where you're at in your life. I need encouragement. I need people to come alongside and just remind me of God's purpose, God's plan in my life. This can occur when the person has supernatural insight into the lives of others. It brings great impact. It reassures people that God is with them. And as I say, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you just move from this kind of encouraging word to, wow, that's God speaking through that person. It touches something in your spirit. And there's times when you speak things that there's no way to know it except that God made it real. Amen? Yeah. He revealed that to someone, and they speak that to you. And I've had many of those in my life, and I trust that you've had many encouraging, comforting, upbuilding words, not just through the preach, because preaching can move into the prophetic. As you're speaking, God takes over, and the word of God comes through, and it's anointed, and it's prophetic, and it's speaking something that otherwise would just be words, and the prophetic comes. The second purpose of it is to exhort or to challenge, and that's the little stronger side of it. But not only does he comfort us, he challenges us. Prophesy exhorts people towards a deeper level of obedience. 1 Corinthians 4:31. I won't go there, but it's when, you know, their hearts are revealed and they fall down on the ground and they confess Jesus is Lord. I love those kind of words. I've had those kind of words. I've spoken those kind of words where they literally fall on the floor. And I kind of like that. I wish this morning I could, and you would just fall on the ground because the power of God, no, it's real. I love it. And I love when he speaks strong words. He both teaches and encourages. This does not mean condemnation, but exhortation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Each of us can walk more in obedience, to walk more in God. And so if a word comes, it should encourage you. It should challenge you. It should cause you to want to obey God more. It should let you know, hey, God is speaking to me. He's speaking into my life, and he wants me to move. He wants me to have some action in response to him speaking. And he also reveals mysteries and knowledge. And I think that's the side of the prophetic that people love the most, and we get into trouble with often, when we kind of are hoping for a Christian fortune-telling kind of a thing. And there's times when God does speak. In the Bible, he talks about famine that was coming. He challenges Paul, you're going to be bound when you go to Rome. I've had those kind of words where you speak strong words, but it comes from a place of exhortation, of encouraging to build up the church, build up people's lives. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:2, he says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that's part of the prophetic. And it brings and it reveals, and people are amazed and awed that God was with us. And I love that sense when we sense in a meeting or in a time together that we move from just, it's just a hot Sunday morning, and we move into something where God is speaking life to people. And I got a word like that this morning. Sorry if you didn't come forward. But you're getting the word right now. Hallelujah. God's encouragement to your life, that he speaks to you. And Herman started it this morning with, making much of him, and he values us, and we make much of God. And we just, what was your song again?
We Are a Chosen People.
Yes, that one. You guys remember it better than me. Just to know that we're chosen by God. And it comes through, and then it's more than just, you're chosen by God. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm chosen by God. Yeah. I have a purpose today in my life, and he speaks life to it. It means prophecy deals with mysteries or knowledge or the purposes of God which are inaccessible to the natural mind. God has clearly revealed his will through the scriptures, but it's often the application of his word that he wants to click home in us. Prophecy does not add to scripture, but it brings insight into the strategies and the plans of God. You're reading through the word of God, or it'll always come in line with the word, and it'll bring the word to life. It will not contradict it. It's not something out there. And I could tell you 1,000 examples of all the nonsense I've heard, but sometimes the interpretation of dreams, of vision, or through prayer. And this is part of what I saw happening this morning in my prayer time, but the Lord had different plans, because I had a dream that was the most vivid dream last night. And again, I don't know if it's drug-induced. I keep saying that because I took a painkiller for these wisdom teeth that don't want to go away. The wisdom is just too much. And I just lost you guys. Stay with me. But this dream I had was Mark Roy, and I was looking for him this morning. So I know God's not in it, so he's not here. But it was the most detailed dream, and we were putting, it was like we had an exam. Herman was in there. There were some ladies that we each had a table, and they just dumped all these electronic parts, and I could see little motors and pumps and wires, and across the table from me was Mark Roy. And I was so happy because he's a master electrician and he knows stuff. And I'm in my dreams, I never quite get there. I never quite get to where I'm going. I never finish. I can't find my way. I get lost. Something. I don't know what that means spiritually, but let's talk about Roy this morning. Mark, I mean. So he starts to explain to all of us. Pretty soon Herman's there, the lady, we're all in the same thing, and he's explaining the details of how this stuff works. And I woke up and I'm like, is this God or is this just too much food? What is it? And if Mark was here, I was going to call him out and I was going to say, what I see, what I felt God saying through it is that you're a man of details. And, I had some stuff that I knew was going to change his life. That So I'm stuck with you guys. No, but I've been praying this morning just that we would have words for each other, and then we prayed for each other. And we would encourage each other, and we would stand with each other. It's not just about Sunday mornings. It's about being together. And that's why I loved Jeremy's words about grandfather's house, and I loved Drew's example. He shared it with me yesterday, but just what he shared this morning at his wedding, he's like, isn't this how the church is supposed to be? You're with people you love and family, and you're singing and you're rejoicing, and it's just like, that's how church is supposed to be. We come together and we encourage each other. And so that's why Paul says, do not despise the prophetic. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. Everyone come with a hymn, a song. Come with something. Bring something to the house of God and encourage each other. And they were eating and they were fellowshipping and the church was being added to daily and God was moving the miraculous and revealing the mysteries and the knowledge and the purposes of God. Amen. There's a couple of arguments against the prophetic. I'm not even going to touch on those this morning, other than to say, you know, there are those who say it ended, it ceased, other than to say, well, if there's prophecy today, then why don't we add it to Scripture? We don't. Even the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament was written by the prophets. The New Testament was the apostles. And even in the Old Testament, everything they said never got written down. It was that which God led and directed and put down, and they were carried along as they wrote, and God kept the record true, and the same in the New Testament. But what we're saying is today, every one of us who has the Spirit of God, we can prophesy. We can speak, and I got too many notes, I'm leaving them, but to narrow it down, to bring it down to its simplest form, prophetic is to encourage. And if all you're doing to someone is saying, you know, Genevieve, you're doing amazing as a mother, as a wife, as a leader of a church. You're doing amazing. And you got three little boys, and this season will pass, but God's with you. And that's prophetic. That is, and then you bring it in line with the Scripture. All you're doing is bringing truth out of the Word of God that God is with us. Yeah. Amen? God's got us. Keep on being faithful. You know, Lori shared at her birthday party just a full life, and to have our kids just honor their mother, and that's our reward for not killing them. You know that story. But and then you get grandchildren, and you get life is just, your count is full, and that's the church, and that's where we want to encourage each other and say, come on, you guys. Let's walk this walk. Let's serve God. Let's bring the prophetic. Let's bring the spiritual gifts. Let's allow the fivefold, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Let them build the church. Let's all use our gifts in the body of Christ, those natural gifts that God's given to us. I always remember Heinz. He was quite short. For those of you who remember Heinz, he came with us when we started this church. And, you know, he's like, I'm a flautist, you know, plays the flute. I'm not a rugby player. No matter how much desire Heinz had to be a rugby player, he ain't going to be one. He'll get killed. But he could play the flute. And that was always his joke. And I always think of Jordan, who was with us, and they planted out. He also played the flute. And they had a special shaped throat. Not everybody can play the flute. They have a throat that's special, but they're not going to be rugby players. And so what is the gift that God's given to you? What do you bring to the body that we bring together to encourage one another, to bless one another? Don't hold back. Let God use you. And if it's, you know, I don't want to go back to Romans, but if it's just being generous, be generous. If it's serving, serve. If it's, you know, it's a food, if it's meals, if it's preaching, if it, whatever. Like, we kind of elevate front ministry, yeah? It's like, but think what's going on right now in this church. How people have blessed. I get the harmonies going again. And it's not drugs. What people have done for each other in this church and are doing it right now, that's the body of Christ yeah, we'll have Sundays. Yeah, we'll have preaching. Yeah, we want to worship together. Yes, we got to walk in the truth. I thank God for the Bible school training that's going to go on here in the fall on Tuesday nights, and we'll say more about that soon. And Eric is going to head that up and some of the others, and we're going to bring in the most amazing teachers in the city. Hallelujah. But this body, this group of people working and functioning together is what will change the world. So can I encourage you? You know, you think, well, I'm just here. No, man. I don't know. Russell should be the one saying this because he's the encourager. He will cry and he'll make you all soft. And if you only knew how good it is to see you sitting here today, not just because you're a bum in a seat. I like that too. But because of what you carry and who we are. And there's times when you're rejoicing and others rejoice. And there's times when you're weeping and we weep with you and we stand together. Amen? That's what a body does. And so, what's this got to do with prophecy? Everything. Bring your gifts. Speak life. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to ask my friends, Carrie and Sue, to come and join me. I've often said Haiti fun. Carrie and Sue, we will always honor you guys and always hold you in the most highest esteem in this church. I mean that. And Carrie and Sue are going to be leaving us as far as this local group. They're not dying. They're not leaving the city. And they have felt God has moved them, and we honor you for that. We hate it, but we honor your decisions and who you are. And so I'm going to ask a couple of people to come, the elders. And Nicole, I want you to come. That's why I asked you to hang around. Could I just have you guys come? There's a few of us who were here back in the rug days, back on the shag rug. For those of you, we started in a house on a farm, and there was this, anyhow. But Carrie and Sue, I'm going to start. I can still remember the first time we met in that farmhouse, and Sue was much friendlier than Carrie. Not true, but easier, can I put it that way? Carrie was more checking us out, and what's this about, and kind of what guarantees do we have? This isn't going to be a freaky group of people. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't guarantee anything. But I just remember so many sweet times over the years. And they were on eldership with us. They led life groups. I could rob you of so many rewards in heaven just by telling all your stories. But I wanted to say it publicly that I don't know if there's anyone else, any other couple in this church that influenced and have so much effect of where this church is at and why it's here and all of those things. And so we honor you, even in the sadness and the joy. So I'm going to invite whoever's got a microphone. Herman, go ahead. And I'd like Nicole to speak, and I'd like any of you who feel I'm invited my daughter because, you got to know, she was supposed to be going over to the Pearl Church. She said, no, I want to be here for this, to say goodbye. And it's because of the influence and the goodness of God on your lives. And I'm sorry, I'm still talking.
Good, I'll just weep over here.
Yeah. I appreciate that you came and let us say goodbye like this, really. And I, you know, sometimes it's just easier at an airport or something just to whoosh and go away than to stand with the grandkids and weep and cry. But we thank you for the opportunity to say thank you. And we invite you to come and visit us all the time. And this is always home. You'll always be honored here. I just wanted to say that one more time.
Mama Sue and Carrie. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you give. Thank you for having people in your home. Thank you for counseling couples in marriage. Thank you for having us for canning jar days, even though we spend more time chatting than worrying about the sterile technique. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the million little things you've done that have been seen, that have been unseen, and that you just live your life serving and giving. And I've seen it from Bethesda. I've seen it from the time you, when I was single and didn't have family around, and just that you love people, that you see people, that you notice.
Yeah.
And I just honor you for that. I honor you for the million little things that you do, because it's good, and because it's part of who you are, and because it just flows out of you. It's just effortless. And yeah, I love you guys. And I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored to have been blessed by you.
Amen.
Yeah, when I think and pray about you guys, it's a rock, it's a foundation, it's a place where people can jump off and move on in life, and you create that foundation. Don't stop doing that. And some of you may not know, they were on eldership in this church, and we would go away as elders together, and we went there to Sylvan Lake, and we brought our boats, and Carrie's boat, and Leonard's boat, and we were cruising on the lake, and you know, who's my boat is bigger than your boat kind of deal, and we're on Carrie's boat, and we just whoom through this lake, and I see Sue just beating Carrie from the side, just slow down, let's try and enjoy this, but we got to go see the other side of the lake, guys, what are you doing? And that's exactly what I love doing, Carrie. So that's a simple story. I just love that Leonard trying to keep up with his little boat in the wake of Carrie. And the whole point is, we had fun together, and I will remember those boat rides, and I will remember ice fishing, and I will remember having great dinners at your house. And it's not only about a preach and about a guidance, but it's also about living life together. And you've shown me amazing things of Canada and hospitality, yeah. And it was a beautiful time, so I'm thankful.
I just have a word for you. So, Laurie, do you want to bring those flowers? I guess you already saw them. So, here are some flowers. We love you. But if you look at these flowers, you would see there's eucalyptus in here. And I just helped with those bride and groom over there with their flowers for their wedding. And it was like eucalyptus just makes any bouquet beautiful. It's like a bouquet is not a real bouquet unless it has eucalyptus. And it just is like the fragrance of it is just beautiful. And the softness and the color brings everything together. And my point is, whatever bouquet you will be a part of, whatever church, wherever you go, you will be like eucalyptus.
Yeah.
You will add value, whether you're trying to add value to purple and pink flowers or white flowers or whatever, wherever you go, you will be like the eucalyptus. And I just want to encourage you with that. And you have been an amazing fragrance in this church and added value and beauty. And are you sure you want to leave? Because we just want to give you this one last chance. Like, we love you so much, and we are going to miss you. And we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you wherever you go, and that you would know that you have an inheritance here, and one day in heaven, we will all be together as one big church and celebrate and until the end of time. No time will end.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you guys remind me very much of my mom and dad. Maybe that's why you guys get along so well with them, I think. But I think there's lots of people that say lots and influence a lot that way, and then there's others that are kind of quieter, but when you guys speak, I sure do listen. Mm-hmm. And that's just the word that I have for you guys is, you might not be at the forefront or talking lots, but when you speak, people listen, and I know you're going to carry that to wherever you are going next. So you guys are rock solid people and gems and the kind of people that I look up to. So grateful for the time that we could spend with you guys, and I know you're not out of our lives, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All day, Carrie. So it fell flat on me because I searched for a treasure chest. Because that's what I wanted to give. Okay, so this was second prize, but let me just reiterate on the treasure chest. Like, and maybe treasure chests are hard to find for a reason. Because of the very nature, a treasure chest is hidden away, and when I struggled to find it, I felt God said, no, how's about this? It's a little bonsai tree that's very strong and very resilient. And my word over you is that you are strong and very resilient. And maybe if I wasn't serving today, I'd ask you just to crash it on the floor, and you would see how this tree can now take root and it can grow into what it is supposed to be. That full, that deep, that solid. And I declare that, and I prophesied, and I prayed over you, that when you see this little bonsai that needs care and it needs to be looked after, and that your diligence is what you've sown over and over in life and kids and sons, my life. I remember you praying for us to get pregnant, and we did, and then we got Micah and cats. There's lots. And I pray when you look at this little bonsai, you'll be reminded that God has got so much more, and there's so much, there is more. And you see the porcelain on or the ceramic on the outside cracking open, and the roots going deeper, and the fullness of what a tree is supposed to be coming to what it is. So we bless you into your next season. We declare that you have been so, so good for us. You have taught us so, so much. And your humility speaks louder than anything. It's okay. No, you speak. It's fine. No, I don't have anything to say. No, you do. And you do. And we will keep on learning from one another. And like we've reiterated and said, this isn't the end. This is just another chapter in the lives that we find ourselves in here in Edmonton. So thank you. And I commend you. Thank you for being my friend. And yeah, I look forward to the future.
Good. Amen. You might be saying, well, a couple other people didn't get this kind of farewell. God's favor is not fair. But if you, all I'll say is, if you add what these folk add, we will have a bigger party. But don't leave. Ever. Never. When Nicole was talking, it's dangerous when you wear the mic. I remember when George Ibers and I came to Edmonton on the fact-finding trip, and this was before we even really knew there was a plant coming here, and you had told Nicole, you know, if you ever have friends, family coming, please let them know they can stay with us. And that was the beginning of all of this. And you just opening your home, and George and Liesl staying with you, and blessing my daughter, and then our connecting in the old shag rug. And I'll remember one of our first services, Carrie, when Matt, you remember Matt with the earrings and the tattoos, and he was a pastor's son, and there was trouble in his home, and his parents had divorced, and he was just walking. And I still remember you and him hugging, and you shared a bit of your story with the battle coming from Uganda, and I don't even remember details, but just, and I just remembered, only God could put Carrie Brown and Matt Francis in my living room, which we were renting, at such a time as that. And there's just like this amazing, amazing ministry. And so thank you. Thank you. Would you like to say something? We will give you the mic.
Well, thank you all so much for your kind words. And this has been a phenomenal season in our lives. And God has been with us. And it's been an incredible journey. Mentioned the fun. Many of you mentioned the fun. And we've had a lot of fun in this place and together. I'm so appreciative of Leonard and Lori and their leadership, but also their friendship. I'm reminded of early on when we just joined them and we had a tragedy in our extended family. And Leonard and Lori came over to our house and they sat with us, cried with us, and prayed with us, and just loved on us. And I just knew that that was our family, you know, at that point. Sue had made the decision right away, but I was still on the fence. And just their love and their concern. And I know so many of you in this church have felt that from them, the compassion, the care, the love, the grieving with you when you're grieving, going through challenges in life when you're going through challenges. And they're just incredible, amazing people, and I'm so glad to call them friends. Amen. And the eldership team here, we just love you guys and appreciate you for all your service and everything you give to the church of your lives and the call of God on your life. Nicole, thank you. It's just been fun, you know, over the years, being a part of your life, seeing you come into marriage, seeing you have children, seeing you be a great mom. And God takes us on a journey, and we're not done. He just keeps moving us in the journey of life. And life has been amazing, you know, bumps, challenges, but life has been amazing when you serve God and when you walk with Him. And I believe that's the heart of this church. And our hope and goal is to continue to be close with this church, to continue to be friends with this church. And we've got so many friends in the church, too. And we hope to continue those relationships. So thank you all. Thank you, leadership team. It's just been an amazing season in our life.
Amen. Well, this is hard. You know, it's always awkward, isn't it, when you're leaving a church? And I was talking to God about this, and I really don't feel we're leaving. I think God is just reassigning us right now, and we love this church. We have poured our lives in with you in the last decade, and I think over the last, you know, number of months, God has been tugging at our hearts to be more involved in our community where we live and to be able to minister where we are. And we've had a lot of struggles with that that tugging, because it means, you know, it means leaving, and that's always hard. So I'm not saying we're leaving. We are just, God's redirecting us, but we just highly honor this team here, Leonard and Lori and all the elders, and thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to serve with you all these years. It's been a wonderful blessing in our lives. And we just, we thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I want us to close off, and we do something in this church where we honor one another, where we honor people for what they've done, and that's called a standing ovation. So can we do that and honor these two with a standing ovation?
Amen.
Thank you, Enjoy Life Church. And these guys are going to be up in the front here, and you can come give them hugs, and you can come and prophesy over them. You can come and, I don't know, whatever God places on your heart for Kerry and Sue, it's going to be a great opportunity for you to do that. So thanks for coming. Please stick around for some coffee and tea. Come and love on these guys and pray, prophesy, hug, because Kerry loves hugs.
Yeah, he loves it. bless you, man. Thank you. You can hide, but you can't.